Under the Sun on WLRN tells the stories of South Florida. I'm Alicia Zuckerman. This summer marks 20 years since Hurricane Andrew, and each week we're bringing you stories in our Remembering Andrew series. In the days after the hurricane, Baptist Hospital in Kendall was inundated. More than 500 patients found their way to Baptist that first morning. The hospital was running on generator power, operating without air conditioning. A Miami Herald article from the time described how hundreds of people stood in a bloody line that stretched outside the hospital. Many of those people were injured, climbing through the shattered glass, twisted metal, and splintered wood. Other patients had normal problems that took on more gravity as hospital services broke down. Sammy Mack brings us the story of one of those people.
In the summer of 1992, Susan and Lou Holtzman bought a video camera because they were expecting their first baby.
And the baby's still kicking a lot, very active, and the doctor said he thinks I'll be right on time. So hopefully after this part of the tape, you'll see the after part of the tape with the new baby.
The afterbirth, as it were.
For Susan, the really terrifying parts of Hurricane Andrew didn't begin until the day after the storm. Susan was 9 months pregnant at Baptist Hospital. It was the day before she was due to give birth. She compares what she saw there to a movie.
The railroad yard scene in Gone with the Wind, where there were just wounded lying everywhere. I mean, there were just people everywhere that were hurt. And there's a few I remember. There was a man that weathered the storm on a boat in a marina, and he had debris embedded in his back because he had been exposed to the wind.
Susan had two reasons to be at Baptist that day. One, pregnant women in their third trimesters, women like Susan, had been asked to evacuate to hospitals. And two, Susan worked at the hospital. It was an administrative position. She didn't normally deal with patients. But in the days after, it was all hands on deck. Her then-husband, Lou, didn't want her exerting herself in the cleanup.
My husband was very concerned. He wanted me to call my doctor, and I kept telling him, you know, I'm fine, the baby's fine, all these other people aren't fine, so let's just focus on that. Which, you know, thinking back, maybe that wasn't the best thing to do.
So, 2 days after Andrew, on her due date, Susan was back at the hospital, answering one of the few working telephones.
Right around then, I noticed that the baby hadn't been kicking. I just thought, okay, don't panic, you're in the right place. But I remember I felt like I was in slow motion. Like when I got up and I walked out, where we were was on the other side of the hospital from labor and delivery. And I just felt like I was very slowly, one foot in front of the other. When I pictured it in my mind, it's as if the hospital halls were empty. And I made this walk alone. And that cannot have been the case because that hospital was full of people. But I don't remember it that way.
When Susan arrived at the labor and delivery ward, she got a nurse's attention.
You know, I was obviously quite pregnant, and I said, today is my due date, and the baby doesn't seem to be kicking.
A nurse immediately wrapped a band tight around her belly to see if they could get a response from the baby. The nurse showed her a monitor of the baby's heartbeat. Everything's okay, she said. Then they watched the baby's heart rate drop to zero.
There was a lot of yelling, orders being shouted. Get her clothes off, and they told me, we're going to break your water here. That means that they have to insert a sharp instrument and the amniotic fluid gushes out. And that's not really something you would normally do, I don't believe, in a hallway.
The baby's heartbeat came back. Under normal circumstances, Susan's doctor said she would have had a cesarean after that, but it wasn't sterile. So the doctor induced labor. He said it would take a while, and he left to check on his house. By then, Susan's husband Lou had arrived. He had been at home a couple of miles away dealing with their own hurricane damage. Part of the roof had blown off and a bunch of windows had shattered. They still didn't know why the baby's heart had stopped, just that it had, and that it had come back. They waited. Susan tried not to think about the possibilities.
I had had several miscarriages, three. So just the idea that I could, that a baby would get to term, and then I think I tried not to think about the outcome, you know, just go and do what you have to do so that everything turns out okay. And that's to keep the panic down. But, you know, there was so much of that. That's what we had been doing for days, is don't panic, walk through it. It's only a roof. It's only a house. This is only a baby that's not kicking. I'm just going to move forward.
A few hours into the waiting, A nurse checked on Susan.
And she said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "I'm okay. I'm feeling a little pressure." And she said, "Really?" And she lifted the drape and she said, "Don't push." I was like, "What?" And she said, "You just stay right there. Don't push." She opened the door and she yelled, "I need a doctor in here."
Susan had gotten an epidural, so she didn't realize the baby was coming.
So this doctor came running in from the hallway, someone I had never met. And I delivered very quickly. My daughter was born very quickly. And my doctor came running into the room going, "What happened? What?" He was there right after she was born. He had gone home and taken all the meat out of his freezer and cooked it on the grill and brought it into the nurses.
At that point, many of the nurses and doctors had been on call for days. Some of them didn't have houses to go back to. The halls were filled with the wounded. The rooms were sweltering because the air conditioning was still out. The water wasn't to be trusted. And yet, for Susan and Lou, the hospital just sort of disappeared.
It was like everything else didn't matter at the time. It was like we were the only ones in the world at that moment, still sweating.
"It's a girl. There she is, our little Elise. Happy birthday. Everything went wonderfully. Susie was a real trooper. You see her little feetsy and her belly button and her long fingers that she didn't get for me. Those are Susie fingers and the Susie mouth."
She mewed like a kitten. Meow, 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 like this little teeny kitten. And she was just beautiful. We have this picture of me holding her, and I had an IV in my arm, and she wasn't cleaned up the way they would normally clean a baby. She was born and they handed her to me, so she was still kind of, you know, messy and bloody and moving through everything that we had been through those few days. And the destruction and the fear and the chaos and the blood that we saw. I thought, you know, this is one tough little girl.
The older I get, the more she tells me about it and how hard it was for her.
That tough little girl is now an accomplished young woman. Elise Holtzman just finished an internship with Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She's about to start her sophomore year at the University of Maryland, double majoring in American history and government and politics. Elise says as a kid, it didn't really sink in what a big deal the hurricane was for her parents.
"Those are the things that I just can't imagine what I would do. And I can feel her pain when she talks about it, or I can feel how scared she was when she talks. I think when I have a child, I will be freaking out in perfect conditions. I just think it was a real test of strength, and it really just shows me that they're such strong people, both of them."
On August 26th, Elise Holtzman turns 20. For Under the Sun, I'm Sammy Mack in Miami.
You can see photos of the Holtzmans and share your own Hurricane Andrew story at WLRNunderthesun.org. Thanks to Luke Cohen for helping with this story. I'm Alicia Zuckerman.
Support for Remembering Andrew on WLRN comes from Best Roofing, South Florida's forensic roof specialists, diagnosing and correcting commercial roof problems for over 35 years. Information at 954-941-9111 or bestroofing.net.